you're believing for. You're not believing for enough. In other words, in my account, there must be so much. You know, it's like having $1 million in the bank, go out and make a withdrawal for a dollar. Got $1 million and then say, Lord, go to the teller. Can I please have a dollar out of my account? I'm just asking for a dollar. I believe a dollar helped me a whole lot. And she looked in the account, this man here struggling over getting a dollar out of his account when he got $1 million sitting there. He told me, he said, the Lord told me to tell you, you haven't asked for enough. That means that God have more that he wants to give. Let me put it this way. That means that God has more that he has given that I haven't tapped into. So all of these messages for the last year have been line upon line, precept upon precept, positioning us to be able to receive what's already in the account.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
We want to take this opportunity to wish all mothers a happy Mother's Day. We bid you God's best blessings and encouragement and peace and joy that comes with motherhood. We recognize in the Word of God when God shows even the mother attributes all through the Word, all of the things that he himself represent in that form. He gives honor to mothers. And the Word of God says to give honor to whom honor is due. And so today we want to take a moment in this worship service and honor you as the Lord has already honored you. Now I want to ask if you, first of all, I want to speak to the children this morning. God has blessed you with a wonderful mother. One who has sacrificed for you, given her best to you, given her life to you, and you know that she's worthy of all the praise, all the glory, according to the Word of God in the 31st chapter of Proverbs. Bible says you'll praise her in a public place. It's all right to say at home, Mama, I love you, but it's nothing like in front of others saying, Mother, I love you. And out of all of the things mothers have done for their children, nothing more than the appreciation of all of her sacrifices is all that a mother looks for. You can never repay her. Don't care how much money you give her on Mother's Day, how many lovely gifts you give her, you can never repay her for all of the sacrifices she's made. So, children, if you are anywhere near your mother right now, would you just take a moment out and just hug her and kiss her and tell her publicly, Mother, I love you. Take some time out right now. If your mother is here, if you have to walk across the church to find her, why don't you do that today? She's worthy. She's worthy. She's worthy. Wherever your mother is today, if she's here, because there are some who wish their mother were here today. I'm not just talking about physically in this place, but some mothers have already gone on to be with the Lord. And then if there's a Christian woman in this ministry who's been like a mother to you, would you take the moment out and honor her? Maybe there's someone who's been like a mother to you here. Would you show her your love and affection today? Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Oh, bless his wonderful name today. Bless his wonderful name today. Bless his wonderful name today. Bless his wonderful name. Bless his wonderful name. Sometimes we don't learn early enough how precious mothers are. But I want us to know that mothers are a gift from God. Mothers are a gift from God. When I was a young boy, I've told the story many times. And mother used to drop me off to school. And when she'd pull up to the school and it was time for me to get out, I'd open up the door and hurry up and jump out, and mother would say, wait, son, you're not gonna kiss me? And I'd say, oh, mom! And she said, that's all right, baby. And when she said, that's all right, baby, it should have been all right with me, but it just ate me up all on the inside. Because that was something so real and rich and refreshing about mother, but yet I couldn't express that. And then what I started doing was saying, okay, mama, when we got like a block or two away from the school, I said, let me kiss you now, mama. Because I was too embarrassed to kiss her in front of my friends. But you know, I'm thankful and grateful that God allowed me to grow up and to realize that mothers are more precious than money, than silver, than gold. And I'm not ashamed to kiss mama, to hug mama, to show my love for mama in the public or in private, because God has blessed me with a wonderful mother. And if there are those of you out here today who may feel like you're not affectionate enough, listen, there's coming a day when mother won't be there for you to hug, when mother won't be there for you to kiss. And so while you have the time and the opportunity to show her your love, not just on this day, but on every day. Now I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we ask God's special blessings upon mothers. Father our God, in the wonderful name of Jesus today, oh God, we say thank you. Thank you for mothers. All that they represent, we say thank you. All that they sacrifice, we say thank you. All that they unselfishly give, we say thank you. And God, we say thank you right now because it is in order to say thank you. And Father, as we publicly take this moment out to honor the women that you have given a special place in history to, mothers, we honor them as you have honored them, God. And God, your word tells us and teaches us to honor our father and our mothers. And God, we worship you today for mothers. Lord, there are some mothers who have given birth and life and are no longer with us today. But we thank you, God, for the life that they gave, the life that they shared, the life that they made a way for, God. Bless them and even their memories, God. Bless the children now even to have fond memories and to think highly even of mothers who are gone on now, God, even as their spirit still rests within them. Father, now bless the mothers who are present here today, God. Continue to teach them and guide them and to bless them and to minister to their needs, God, as only you can do. And Father, we thank you that you have given them a peace and a joy that none other may know, because they share so much of what you have given to this world. Father, thank you now for every mother, every situation, every condition. For we speak blessings, peace, Jesus, upon and in the life of every mother today. We ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise for mothers today. God bless you. I want to call your attention this morning to Proverbs 31, for it is here that the Lord has dealt with me concerning this message and this day. I want to commence at verse 10, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. And it reads as follows. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want to speak from the subject, a ministering message from a mother. A ministering message from a mother. Now, those of you might think that's a strange topic until you walk back and begin at verse 1 of this 31st chapter and see that the king that spoke these words that his mother had shared with him. He is rehearsing the impactful ministry that his mother had upon his life, even as a grown man now serving as a king. Look at what the words say in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his who? His mother taught him. Now let me say first thing to mothers, that you've been given a unique ministry as it relates to motherhood. You make the most profound impact upon your children through that connection, divinely so, that God has given to you. It is important that mothers recognize that they shape, they make, or they break the mold that will either give success and guidance or defeat and destruction to their children. Mothers must realize and recognize that the words that they share, be they positive or negative, impact children so deeply that even in years of adulthood, children refer back to the teachings of their mother. Here is one prime example of a man who was a king who thought back upon the teachings of his mother when he was yet a child.
So I want to say this to mothers, that you have no idea many times what your child will grow up to be or to become. But what you do know is, while you yet have an opportunity to shape and to mold their lives, don't underestimate the power of teaching and ministering to your child. The devil wants mothers to lay hand off of the realities of the gift that God has given to them. He wants mothers to forget that their role is insignificant. He wants mothers to get so caught up in careers that they forget that they've been given a divine role to instruct and to show and to share with their children the things that make for the right kind of life, where God is feared and honored and placed first in their lives, and then all other things are placed in their proper structure and position. God wants mothers to become so frustrated and full and filled with daily duties until they forget that children are a responsibility, also as a reward and a gift of their own body, that they would somehow shirk the responsibilities of teaching their children the way that they ought to go. I'm impressed by King Lemuel's honor that he gives to his mother. And when I read this chapter immediately and its initial readings, it did not dawn on me until the Holy Spirit brought me back to this first verse to help me understand that what the king was saying didn't come from the king, it came through the king. What the king was saying, his mother had taught him that. Now, may I ask you a question? You know the old saying, it takes one to know one. Who better than a virtuous woman can tell somebody else about a virtuous woman? Who better than a woman can tell you about a woman? A man knows in a limited perspective, and most of that is external, about a woman and about the things that he encounters with a woman, but nobody can tell you like a woman about a woman like a woman. And so here is a woman, and notice this now, teaching her son. Mothers, may I tell you that you are partly responsible for teaching your son how to treat a young lady. Mothers, you need to recognize that as you teach your son how to treat you and respect you, you are also teaching him how to treat and respect a young lady. If you don't teach him how to honor and respect you as a mother and as a woman, you do not teach him how to honor and respect a lady or someone that he will soon marry or come into relationship with. And so you must understand it is important. All that you inbred in him, instill in him, is going to come out of him one day. Now listen at this, mothers, because some of you don't realize that the attitude that you take with teaching your daughters and letting your sons run wild comes back to haunt you. See, it's all right. We put strict chains on the girls. We're hard on the girls, but we let the boys do their thing. Now, my brothers and sisters, I need you to understand here is a man talking about what his mother has taught him. Let's walk through the word and check it out. Look at this, because maybe it'll give us some helpful holy hints as to how we ought to handle our sons. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my what? Vows. Now listen at this, because she's bringing home closer and closer not only the reality of their relationship, but also the dedication of her commitment to bringing this child up the way that he should be brought up. It says, listen what she first starts off saying, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She was raising him up in a royal fashion. She was raising him up in a kingly way. She was raising him up for the position that he would assume in life. And she was saying to him, there are just some things I need to teach you as your mother that you will understand when you grow up and become a man. The first thing that I want to tell you is that you ought not give your strength. And the translation here is to loose women. Do not give your strength to loose women. women. Now look at what the word says. She's telling him, this is the first thing she's telling him now. Now notice the word said it was a prophecy. She taught him this because she was also helping him to understand, if you obey it, you'll be blessed. If you disobey it, you will be cursed. So notice here, she's saying to him, give not thy strength unto women. And if you would search it out, you'll see that it means not women as per real good women and that kind of thing. It's talking about loose women, and your strength being all of your essence and your all that you are. And it means, and it's following the same reality, turning over your allegiance and your loyalty to them when that belongs to God. And the reference here would be to Samson when he turned over his strength to Delilah. Now Delilah was a loose woman, and Samson fell in love with a loose woman, and in falling in love with this loose woman, she sold him out, took his strength, and he ultimately wound up dying because he did not have sense enough to understand that a loose woman does not have your best interest at heart. A loose woman is only out for what she can get and a good time she can have, but she has no desire of being the woman that will honor your name and bring you to another level and place in this life. Listen at this. She says to him, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that that destroyeth kings. There is a way that godly folk and folk who of a royal nature can act that will destroy all of their regalness. There are ways that we can act, even being children of the Most High King, that can bring destruction to our lives, even if we have been born into a royal family. There are ways and things we can do that strips and tears down the essence of who we are and all that we are, that makes us us, our lineage, and all of the heritage that we have. There are ways that can destroy all of the building up that has come before you. Our negative ways, our wrong ways, our evil ways can tear down everything that's been built up for you. So notice what she's saying to him. She says, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now she goes on because she's telling him some things. She says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Now she's schooling him in more than just one area of life. She's dealing with the vices that most times and through scripture have destroyed kings before him. Women have been number one, wine have been number two, and money has been number three. And she's teaching him how to deal with those things so they do not overpower or overtake him, and understanding them in their proper places. Notice here she goes on to say, verse 5, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. She was saying, listen, there are folk who may need to drink to try and drink themselves out of the remembrance of the problems and the sufferings, those who are on poverty levels, in pain and in distress and in disarray, but that's not for kings to do. And you can't drink, because drinking always alters your judgment. Drinking always changes your mind. Drinking always brings you into another spirit, and you cannot administer the law right when you're not administering it with the Spirit of God. Amen. So she's teaching him all of this. Look at what she tells him, verse 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such are appointed to destruction. Now she's telling him how to handle justice. Now she's talking about those dumb, she meaning those who are unable to speak for themselves, those who cannot voice their own feelings or sentiments or have the ability to share what is really in their hearts or on their minds, or to articulate the realities of that condition. She's saying, I want you to be able to see the situation, analyze the situation, and see injustice being done, and speak for those who can't speak for themselves. Look at what she's instilling into the boy. Notice what the Bible says again. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and need. One of the problems with the blessed is that they forget about the rest. Some of us, when we reach a certain point and place, and it's all right to be there because God has said all of this is ours. We're to be blessed and to be on top and to be the lenders and not the borrowers. But the problem is we forget that it is God who has given us wealth. It is God who has opened doors. It is God who has blessed us, and it is not ourselves. So when we get to those points and places and positions, we are to remember those who are less fortunate than ourselves and to deal with them in a sensitive and a merciful manner. Listen to what she's saying. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Yeah. Plead their cause. Stand up, make some realities for them that they would otherwise not have. Change their lives and their condition. And whenever you can be a blessing and whenever you can turn things around, you judge righteously. Because you know what is real is that the world does not want the poor and the needy with them. And Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. So God's always going to give you an opportunity to make a difference, to be a blessing, and to show you and to share with you how you can bless and change someone else's life. Now we finally get to where I was trying to get to in the beginning. She tells him, who can find a virtuous woman? Now look at what the word says. For her price is far above rubies. Who can find this virtuous woman? This woman who is morally, spiritually, and in every other realm of life together and fitly placed to be the kind of woman that anybody, children, husband, and God can be proud of. A virtuous woman who desires to do what the Lord wants done. Over and oppose and against that the world is pulling and tugging and telling her to do. She paints a picture to her son. And if you would look at this and if you'd follow the trend of thought here, what she was really saying to him was, and he got that in his spirit because he reiterates this reality, he rehearses this reality, he re-speaks this reality, he's going to get a woman like mama. Now sad is the mother whose son don't want a wife like you. Can I get one witness somewhere? Because it obviously means you've not shown enough virtue, you've not shown the right way, you've not instilled enough truth, you've not disciplined but yet been lenient enough to give him time and place to grow and all of these things. So notice here, he's remembering this now and he's uttering these words because they are coming back in his consciousness. He wants a virtuous woman, and all that he is remembering is what mother has already been. What better teacher of a virtuous woman than a mother right there in the home? What better teacher of a virtuous woman and showing a son what a mother and a wonderful wife should be like than that's displayed in the home? What better way can you show a son what he ought to look for when he gets ready to get a wife than a mother who is everything she ought to be, both to her children and to her husband? Men, listen, know how they ought to be treated when they're treated right by their mothers at home. Now listen at this. Listen at this. A good mother is going to show, just like, and when Father's Day come, I'll say the difference there. Because a good woman, listen, knows how to teach her son what he ought to look for in a good woman. Now listen at this, women, because you need to know this. A virtuous woman is a woman who is multifaceted, multi-talented, and not just one-dimensional. Listen, a virtuous woman ought to have more to offer than just fun in bed. She ought to have something in her head. She ought to have something in her heart. She ought to be able to use her hands. She ought to be able to do the things that's going to bless her children and her husband. This man watched this woman. Remember, this is what mother taught him, and he's rehearsing this long years later as a man and a king. Look at what the word says. He says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of who?
Her
Her life. Now he's looking at that because he remembered how mother treated daddy. Yeah. Not only did she teach him that, but he watched and observed that. Now notice here, go on, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, nobody's got to force her to see her responsibility, her job, and her duties. She's not a lazy woman that walks around with a robe and an old gown on all day, rollers in her head from the morning till the evening time. Look at this, because I want you to see this. The Bible says, verse 14, she is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now look at this, because it's important for you to see how this